For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has set aside some time each spring semester for Bible conference. These days of concentrated study and preaching from the Word of God are a time of spiritual enrichment for our students, faculty and staff, and many others who join us for these services. We're pleased to welcome you to the PCC Bible Conference.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and have appointed the times appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. along life's way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. May I get personal for a moment? What passage of Scripture did you read in your morning devotions, your prayer time, before you left your room? You did pray before you left your room, did you not? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ the Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? I must warn you that if you begin any morning without talking to the day star, you're inviting chaos, confusion, and consternation into your life for the day. Someone wrote, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long, the presence lingered. All day long, he stayed with me, and we sailed with very comfort across a troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learned through many a troubled way, you must meet him in the morning if you want him through the day. What do you think about your Bible? Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone, I expect to live it and prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand though the earth shall crumble. I'll plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. Bring back the Bible, O ye sons of men. Bring back the Bible and begin again. Bring back the Bible, shout it far and wide. Bring back the Bible and wait for the tide. Bring back the Bible, let it be heard. Bring back the Bible, God's holy word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible hidden in my heart. I love the Bible, and we shall never part. Open the Bible. Find him there. Open the Bible. Don't despair. Open the Bible. See his face. Open the Bible. Trust his grace. Open the Bible. Look clearly above. Open the Bible and share God's love. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light. While sweet are the words of thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Every word of God is pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The scripture cannot be broken. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, indestructible, powerful, precious, pure, perfect, pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not in the experimental stage. It's been tried and proven. It is not the book of the week, or the book of the month, or the book of the year, or the book of the decade, or the book of the century, or the book of the millennium. It is the book of the ages, old as time and new as tomorrow. Sir Walter Scott wrote, "Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race, to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born that read to doubt or read to scorn." John Greenleaf Whittier penned these words, "We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful, from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read." In a recent year, the American public purchased 25 million Bibles. Ladies and gentlemen, that's twice the number of Harry Potter books that were sold. I read somewhere recently that a chapter a day keeps the devil away. By the way, the devil is not afraid of a Bible with dust on it. But just because it's dusty on the outside does not mean that it's dry on the inside. A Bible that's coming apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. A Bible in the hand is worth a dozen in the trunk. Where the Bible is, that's where God is. Behind the Bible is God. Above the Bible is God. Beneath the Bible is God. Inside the Bible is God. On either side of the Bible is God. Friends, it's impossible to read the Bible and escape God. I'm happy to be a part of this Bible Conference 2021. I must tell you that a Bible conference without the Bible is not a Bible conference. To stage a Bible conference and not have the Bible from center to circumference is like trying to serve a gourmet dinner without any food on the table. Thank God we have the Bible. Thank God we're having a great Bible conference. It's been my privilege to preach here at PCC on multiple occasions for more than 35 years. You can rest assured one thing I have discovered over these years. In every church service, in every chapel hour, in every classroom setting, in every conference, the Bible has always played a prominent role. It has been preached powerfully. It has been proclaimed pontifically. Sadly enough, in many institutions so-called of higher learning, the Bible has been relegated to a second place. I like what Warren Wiersbe said, "The theological mind must depend on the inspired Word of God for direction and truth. Once we lose that anchor, we drift." Now, I invite you to open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9. As you're finding your place in the 1 Samuel, chapter 9, I should remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. I'm going to read 1 Samuel 9:27 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we are grateful for the Bible conference. We're grateful for what's already happened, what is going to happen. We thank you for this wonderful body of students. We thank you for the faculty and the administration, the staff, for all of those who direct the traffic, those who keep the buildings in order, for everyone who has a part of making this Bible conference the success that it is. Please help us to see and know and believe and trust and understand that you have a plan, a pattern, a program, a prescription for every person in this room. And may each one of us find that place is our prayer in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, students, during this Bible conference, I challenge you to allow the Bible to do three things for you. Are you ready for this? Number one, to fill your mind. Number two, to rule your heart. And number three, to guide your feet. If you're looking for a title to my message, here it is: Strengthening Your Grip on the Word of God. I challenge you in the first place to strengthen your grip on the prominence of God's Word. My dear friends, the Bible is worthy of such sacred adoration and such sublime commendation that God has elevated it above his matchless name. So said the psalmist in Psalm 138 in verse 2, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book. And God wrote the book. William Lyon Phelps of Yale University fame said, "I believe in a college education, but a knowledge of the Bible without a college education is more valuable than a college education without a knowledge of the Bible." Jesus, here I go quoting Jesus already. I love to quote Jesus. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. When I quote Jesus, I never have to worry about being misquoted. He said in Matthew chapter 4 at verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The first Bible that was printed on a press with movable type was the Gutenberg Bible in 1465. The first order consisted of 80 copies, all of which were already sold before they cranked up the press. In 1987, one copy sold for $1 million. I need to tell you, no purse, no price, no premium can be put on the Bible. It transcends the writings of all the men in the history of mankind. Socrates can't equal it. Aristotle can't match it. Plato can't surpass it. The classics of Greece, the lyrics of Rome, the tales of Scotland, the sonnets of England, and the poetry of America all fade into oblivion in the light of the Bible's divine inspiration. Here's something for you to ponder. God used some 40 people over a period of 1,500 years to compile a complete and perfect biography of himself. The Bible was written by men in exile, by men in the desert, by men in shepherds' tents, by men in kings' palaces, by men in shady green pastures and beside still waters. It is a library containing history, prophecy, and law. It contains poetry, literature, science, and medicine. It was written in 13 countries, spread out over three continents. The Bible has but one theme, redemption. One hero, Jesus. One villain, Satan. One purpose, to glorify God. One author, the Holy Spirit. Hear me when I say it. There's a vast difference between books that men make and the book that makes men. When God speaks, he never minces words. He cuts through the fluff, the puff, and the stuff and gives us an unabridged spiritual no-spin zone from Genesis 1:1 to the Revelation 22 and 21. He speaks with a tongue that never slips. He writes with a pen that never blots. He acts with a hand that never fails. I challenge you in the second place. I just have 33 of these, so just sit back and relax. No, I'm only kidding. I challenge you in the second place to strengthen your grip on God, on the permanence of God's word. No other book, listen, ladies and gentlemen, no other book surpasses its sales or supersedes its sacredness. It outlives, outloves, outlifts, outreaches, and outruns all other books. The Library of Congress has 650 miles of shelving. On those shelves are 142 million books. Not one of them can compare to God's book in composition, in character, or in content. Did someone ask, well, how permanent is the Bible? Well, stay tuned. Here it is. I hasten to tell you it is irreversibly inspired. It is irrevocably true. It is irresistibly convincing. It is infinitely preserved. Error cannot erode it. Sin cannot poison it. Satan cannot corrupt it. Philosophy cannot corrode it. Science cannot contaminate it. Circumstances can't change it. And time cannot erase it. Men can defy it, decry it, and deny it. They can doubt it, despise it, and distort it. They can demean it, dilute it, and detest it. But they cannot destroy it. Mary, Queen of Scots, better known as Bloody Mary in her reign of terror, gathered all the Bibles in her kingdom and had them burned. But I have one in my hand. She didn't get this one. In my home, I have 101 Bibles. That is not a stretch. That's not just pastoral speaking. That's the truth. Amen. 101 Bibles. Some people have 101 Dalmatians. I have 101 Bibles because I truly love the Bible. May the anathema of holy God be upon those who tamper with his holy word. When the mountains have melted and the oceans have evaporated, the Bible will still be the living word of the living God. When the sun is turned into darkness and the moon into blood, the Bible will still be the living word of the living God. When the stars have fallen from the sky and the earth has melted with fervent heat, the Bible will still be the living word of the living God. When the last chapter of the book of time has been closed on the earth and the first chapter of the book of eternity has been opened in heaven, the Bible will still be the living word of the living God. When the purpling dawn has burst into the brilliant sunlight of God's one eternal day, the Bible will still be the living word of the living God. In the third place, I challenge you, please listen, to strengthen your grip on the performance of God's word. The Bible is the most unique book in all the world. And the most unique book in the world performs the most unique work known to man. Just how does the word of God perform? What does it really do? Well, the Bible inspires, it instructs, it informs. The Bible convicts, it convinces, it converts. The Bible consoles, it confirms, and it comforts. Some books inform, some books reform. Only the Bible can transform. Please don't miss this. The most important performance of the Word of God is bringing the good news of how a man can be born into the family of God. Now, I'm going to call on the Apostle Peter to come to the witness stand. What say you, Peter? 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. While Peter is still on the witness stand, I'm going to ask him to tell us what the Bible tells us, that Jesus took our sins upon himself. What say you, Peter? 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Only the Bible tells us that Jesus was made sin for us. I'm going to ask the Apostle Paul to join Peter on the witness stand. What say you, Paul, about that? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Only the Bible tells us what the gospel is really all about. Tell us about it, Paul, would you, as you're on the witness stand? 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. What scripture? Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. He had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. What else, Paul? He was buried. What else, Paul? On the third day, he rose again, according to the Scriptures. What Scripture? Psalm 16:10 tells us that he was resurrected. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Friends, let me tell you this. Jesus, please don't miss it. Jesus paid our sin debt at Calvary. And I hasten to tell you that he did not make a down payment on it and expect us to pay out the balance in installments. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. With this footnote, and I shall be through. When you strengthen your grip on the Word of God will strengthen its grip on you.
You've been listening to a Bible conference message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.